Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks for tuning in again tonight. As you probably know, this show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who just want to figure out their path to success here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything. We've been doing this for 9 years, and we're still just as clueless as the first day we started.
That's true.
We're out there slinging songs during the day, just like y'all are, but we are able to bring brilliant, talented people into the studio, pick their brains, and answer their questions.
Yeah, and you can chime.
Answer our questions.
Your question, everybody's questions. You can, if you've got your own question, you can ask it at facebook.com/themusicrowshow. Like us and then chime in with your questions or comments. Or you can also hit us up on Twitter, also at The Music Row Show. The conversation just started.
Hey, you know what everybody's talking about?
Tell me, what is everybody talking about?
That The Music Row Show is on Dish TV now.
That is true.
Oh, it's you know, forget the Iowa caucus. Everybody's talking about The Music Row Show on
that is true.
Dish TV. It's on Channel 73, Blue Highways TV, and a few times a week, right?
Yeah, we're on four times a week on Blue Highways TV. First episode, the premiere episode for the week, comes on Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, so you can check it out there. And
get your bowl of cereal.
And starting March 1st, we're going to be on Verizon as well.
My phone?
No, Verizon FiOS? FiOS?
Not
I don't
sure
even know how they pronounce it, but, you know, it's another five or six.
What do you have
homes.
Against iOS?
I love iOS.
Okay,
especially
I'm just
when it comes to these.
Okay, well, listen, we're talking with some terrific songwriters and performers in their own right this evening. First up, hit songwriters Casey Jones and Alan Rohde are going to be visiting with us.
Yep, that is so true. And then we're going to be visiting with hit songwriter Rafe Van Hoy. He's going to be here in the second hour.
Wow, how exciting. Tell us, please, about these two very nice people who are sitting here with us. Hino?
Me?
You. No, me? You're not one of the nice people.
Oh, see, I thought I was getting a compliment there, but no.
No, we'll take a poll. Anybody? Anybody think he's? Nope. Crickets.
Nope. Okay, well, we're starting off tonight with two exceptional songwriter recording artists. We got Casey Jones and Alan Rohde here. I heard that Casey had plans of being a writer of serious songs, but it seems that her funny bone was just too hard to ignore. Some of the songs that you definitely know are Mickey Gilley's I'm the One Mama Warned You About, which is a great song, and Donald Trump's Hair. You may have heard that, not only on this station, but some other ones as well. She's a very popular performer, and she's released 8 albums, including Men Are Some of My Favorite People, which I listened to earlier today. Love that. Every Man I Loved is Either Married, Gay, or Dead. That's another great album. And, of course, Nipples in the Wind, which...
One of my favorites.
One of my favorite albums.
Nipples in the Wind.
Yeah. And then Alan Rohde here. He's an award-winning recording artist and songwriter who's released 9, count them, 9 critically acclaimed albums and has had his songs recorded by artists like Del McCurry, Lori Morgan, Tanya Tucker, the Oak Ridge Boys, George Jones, and even Toby Keith. So we are just thrilled to say to both of you, Casey Jones, Alan Rohde, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yay. Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you guys for having us.
Well, let's start with the shameless plug because the timing of this worked out really nicely. There's something going on this coming Friday right here in Nashville at Douglas Corners, right. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, our friend Casey here is dealing with cancer, and the least I thought I could do was send out an email to everybody on my whole email list, on all my email lists, and let them know what's going on, because we need to raise money. And Kent Blasey emailed me back right away and said, well, let's do a show, and let's put on a show for her and raise some money. And I thought, perfect. So I started getting hold of people, and we have quite a roster here for Friday night at Douglas Corner. Roger Cook,
wow.
Kent Blasey, Corey Batten. He and Kent actually wrote the, it's nicknamed the Little Black Dress song.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yep.
Get You Home or something like that. Yeah, they
was
wrote that
Chris
together.
Young, was it, I believe?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And Rafe, who you mentioned earlier, who'll be on later tonight, Rafe Van Hoy, who's written just a ton of great songs. Wood Newton, Jim Parker, Doug Gill, John Mark Stone, Lynn Langham, Jim Sayles, Casey Jones, and Alan Rohde.
Wow. They let you play at your own show.
We're probably
awesome.
Going to end up doing, we're hoping, two songs each.
And what time is this?
This is 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Douglas Corner. I don't know the exact address offhand, but it's right at...
Right on 8th Avenue.
Right across the street from Zany's Comedy
Club. Well, I can tell you, it's at 2106 8th Avenue.
There you go.
South,
thank
Nashville.
You.
Do you thank want the zip you. Code? Phone number?
What's the address for the subway right next to it?
Yeah, 2108.
Okay, yeah. Good.
And just so you, it's a reasonable cover charge. It's, for all this right. fabulous, all these number one hit songwriters, it's only $10.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a heck
of
a deal.
There's 12 of us on it, and a couple other people have approached us about playing a recorded song that they wrote or wanted Casey to hear, and mm-hmm. you know, we're going to squeeze in things here and there, so we'll just play it by ear.
You know what you could do? You could get 10 more songwriters and have everybody do half a song.
Yes, verse and a chorus.
Yep, that's
something
work.
To think about. Yeah. Think about
that. I mean, that $10, that's a great deal. That really yeah. is. I mean, whenever Scott and I play there, we have to pay them $10. So it's
yeah, right. and you know what's great? Like when we do shows at the Bluebird or wherever. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, one of the songwriters will also be a hot player.
Right.
Like Rafe is a great guitar player.
Right.
Kent Blazy is excellent.
Oh, yeah.
He's mm-hmm. a hot player. Brent Moyer is going to come over to sit in with anybody who wants him to sit in with him and play guitar. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow.
Sweet. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, so again, $10
yep.
this coming Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. at Douglas Corner. And everybody should just show up and have fun.
February 5th.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, yeah. Casey, thanks. as I kind of alluded to, you write funny songs really well. And my experience is the funny songs are really hard to write. I think most people don't understand how hard it is to write a good funny song. How did you figure out that you had a knack for humorous songs?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. You know, a lot of people do think that just because it's a funny song, it's right. easier to write. And a lot of people do write parodies and ditties and things like that. Mm-hmm. But to write a song from the ground up, melody, lyric, everything, and have it have a beginning, a middle, and an end, does take some work. And not everybody's sense of humor is the same either. Like
well, that's true.
I tend to write with my co-writers that I write funny songs with, I have a select bunch because we sort of understand each other. I mean, mm-hmm. Rich Fagan is a good example of someone I've written a lot of funny songs with.
Mm-hmm.
And I write with him because he's just plain crazy.
He's a nut.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
As Kinky Friedman would say, he's out where the buses don't run.
That's right.
But I would just like to say that I want to publicly thank Alan Rohde and Kent Blazy for organizing this. It was 2 years ago yesterday that I was diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer, which is not the most glamorous cancer to have, and it's also one of the more stubborn ones. But I was told at the time that my only hope was to have chemo and radiation 5 days a week for 6 weeks, followed by an extremely radical surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by 6 more months of chemo. And after watching what my mother went through, I just made a decision many years ago that I was never going to go down that path. So when I was faced with this, I had to start thinking fast about what am I going to do.
Right.
And, you know, you almost become a researcher. I mean, you have to become a researcher. If you're going to be proactive about your own health, you better start preparing to read a lot of stuff and then trying to figure out what is real and what is going to be the most helpful.
Right.
And fortunately, I've had a lot of holistic and homeopathic health care givers and that type of people helping me make some of these decisions. And all I can tell you is 2 years later, I'm still in one piece. I'm not burned, butchered, or poisoned. So I must be doing something right.
And there you go.
Yep.
The reason why we got to raise this money is because I went through about $100,000 of my own money. I had made that money from selling a property I had, and I thought, oh boy, this will be my nest egg for the rest of my life. And then a few months after I sold the property, I was diagnosed. And so thank God I had the money to use, but I ran out of money in November, and that's when I went public. I mean, I was even a contestant on America's Got Talent last year.
Yeah.
The reason why I did that was to give myself something to look forward to, because I can tell you when you are dealing with any kind of cancer and probably any serious illness, you need to keep giving yourself something big to look forward to. I'm not talking about just like lunch with a friend. I'm talking about something big that when you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, yeah, I'm still doing that. You know, I still have cancer, but I've got this other thing that I'm going to do, too.
Right.
And so I made it all the way up to the judge cuts, and it's probably a blessing that I didn't go further. I didn't go to Radio City Music Hall, because when I got, after 7 months of being on the show, they sent me home on May 22nd, and that's probably the best thing that could have happened, because that put me back in full focus of getting rid of this.
Right,
yeah.
Focusing on the health.
Focusing on, you know, getting into remission, and I'm a firm believer that I'm going to do that, and I just need to be able to stay on this protocol that I've been on. And so Alan and Kent are doing a marvelous thing here.
Well, I'll say publicly, you're more than welcome, Casey. We love you, and you know, we've known each other a long time. I heard Casey right here at the Opryland Hotel for the first time when she had that dynamic trio, Ethel and the Shameless Hussies.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, they were outstanding. I mean, what a show. What a great show that was. I wish you all had, do you have any video or anything of any of your shows?
Well, there's very little on YouTube, because that was 1988.
Right.
We were the last act on MCA Records to get an LP, a cassette, and a CD.
Wow.
We never did any actual videos, but we were on the Nashville Now show quite a bit with Ralph Emery.
Right.
So some of that stuff is available. I've got to get a bunch of tapes transferred to digital, because there are some things in the archives that could be out there.
Great,
we were just about 10 years ahead of our time for the Bible Belt.
Yeah, and then we've seen each other off and on. Next time we met, I think, was at the Vanderbilt Holiday Inn Songwriters Night.
Right.
And been keeping up with each other since. We did a show, year and a half ago
in
Louisville, up in my hometown of Louisville.
Right.
Had a great listening room there that's no longer
I was about to say, there's a listening room in Louisville?
I was talking to my brother about that on the phone the other day, one of my brothers. You know, there's this story about Louisville and Nashville. I don't want to drag this out, but, you know, my family and I moved to Nashville in 1977, and to watch it grow and basically explode lately, you know, it's quite amazing, because Louisville was way ahead of Nashville in those years. As far as the arts, you know, they had an established opera, symphony, Actors Theater of Louisville had already been around for a long time and become very famous. Anyway, so Nashville now has not only caught up with Louisville in those areas, but, you know, surpassed it in population, as you know, the being one of the it cities now.
Right.
And it's an amazing thing to see. But, you know, Louisville needs at least one good listening room.
Right.
Because there's a ton of good musicians and writers and everybody up there. There was a club called the Rudyard Kipling that was there for, I'd say, close to 30 years, and they were barely hanging on most of that time. And they finally sold it. The couple that owned it all that time sold it to a younger couple that had a restaurant in town and moved their whole operation to this place. And they lasted about a year and a half or something, or under a year. But it's totally gone now. So,
and so the moral of the story is they all have to move to Nashville.
They all have to move to Nashville.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
And
3 hours down the road is the place
exactly,
to listen to music. And it's a tough call being, you know,
so if you want a
surefire
investment, restaurant and music put together.
Named after a writer.
Yes.
British poet.
That's got nothing to do with either.
Yeah. And the Rudyard Kipling was that. It was a restaurant yeah. with a great music room.
Yeah. By the way, right. this segment's brought to you by Louisville Travel and Tourism.
No, it's
so,
not.
No, it's not. It's actually brought to you by our friends at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That is so true. Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, and we love that place. We always, you know, when people ask, I'm always happy to recommend those guys because they just do such a great job of making it a comfortable experience to go there, whether it's to buy a car or to get your car serviced.
Right. Absolutely.
That's right. And, you know, the Kentucky Derby's not far away.
Right. Right. And they actually, I think I told you, the receptionist, if you bring your dog in, they're playing with your dog. Yeah. And it's a cool place to go. Not only, we go in and get our car serviced quite often. Love those guys. Toyota of Cool Springs, ask for George the owner. And we're going to be right back with more with Alan Rohde and Casey Jones right here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
All right.
They met up on the blue moon, then they parted on a cloudy day.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's I'll Be True to You, the Oak Ridge Boys' first number one country hit, and written by our guest here this hour, or one of our guests, Alan Rohde. We're also here with Casey Jones. Did I say Rohde? I'm sorry.
You said Brody.
You said Brody. He just watched Jaws.
I did, and it's still with me.
That's
Alan
okay.
Rohde.
People do that a lot.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
I apologize. And we're also here with Casey Jones, and that was the Oak Ridge Boys and your first number one, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes, it was. Thank you. And it was my first recording of any of my songs by a major label act. I had one cut before that by a Canadian guy named Ronnie Prophet.
Oh, yeah. I know his son.
Yeah, he was on RCA Canada. He actually had a TV show up in Canada at the time, and he recorded a song of mine. But, the Oak Ridge Boys, I don't know if you want me to talk about that much. But
I'm curious because that's not – the song had a few different incarnations, right? It was much longer before
– Yes.
So talk about that. I mean, it wasn't the first version of the song that was cut, so if you just describe the evolution and your reaction when it was cut, because nobody knew who the Oak Ridge Boys were.
That's what I was going to say. My family and I were still living in Toronto at the time. I lived in Canada for several years, and I had signed with Tree Publishing in spring of 1976. Mm-hmm. And I would make trips to play gigs, or I would send them some of my new songs on tape, or if I was down here working, I would stop in and see what's going on and record a demo of new songs. And I brought that song with me on about my second trip down, I guess. It was 77, I guess, I wrote that song. And it was about 6.5 minutes long, and it was a trilogy of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually two parts of two songs I had started that I combined. It just seemed to work.
Is that what you mean by trilogy, or was it actually
a three-song
set?
First, Bilbo found the ring.
It changed tempo. It has two tempo changes in it.
Wow.
And then it eventually comes back to the original intro ballad finger-picking feel at the end.
Wow.
I don't know if we have time tonight. Maybe I'll do that
later.
Well,
we only have 35 minutes.
It's pretty scary. No. Anyway, they heard the song and they loved the story. It was a real sad story. They said, we love it. We love the title and everything. But they said, there's Cliff Williamson, who was the first song plugger I worked with at Tree Publishing. I didn't mention that earlier, but he said, is there any way you can condense this down and still get the story told? And I hadn't even thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came out of folk and rock and roll and blues, and length of songs I thought was, you know, Harry Chapin, Dylan, whoever, you know.
Right.
There's
they
a
all
lot
had
of
long.
Nice long songs.
Yeah.
Lightfoot, Canadian Railroad Trilogy, whatever. But I was very reluctant. I had, you know, I knew nothing about the business. I knew you had to have certain length of songs for radio play.
Right,
that
right.
I did know, but I hadn't thought about it when I was writing the song. So anyway, I stayed in Nashville for a couple of days and worked on that song. And it was very interesting. I tell people that when I do, I conduct songwriting workshops and that kind of thing. It was a good exercise for me in songwriting, even though to me the original still holds up fine.
Mm-hmm.
It really gave me a challenge. You know, it's like, here's your assignment, you know, and...
Did they give you a target time?
Oh, no. Okay. No, no. They just wanted it within a reasonable... You know, back then, 4 minutes was fairly long, I would say, for a radio single.
Mm-hmm.
And now 2.5 minutes is pushing it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they hovered around 3 minutes for many, many years, two and a half, 3 minutes. Anyway, in the process, the roles in the story, I flipped them because it struck me that in the story, the original, the guy, a couple falls in love. The woman goes away and the guy goes crazy, drinks himself to death at the end. That's the short version.
See, so anyway, you can cut it down.
So when I was doing this rewrite, it struck me that, wow, if it was the woman who drank herself to death and died in the end, it would be that much more heart-wrenching.
Sure. You don't expect that usually of a woman.
Well, see, that's right.
Yeah.
And I
what
think
are you saying?
Did.
I'm just
you
saying.
Misogynist.
You know,
there's been a lot of stories of guys drinking themselves to death, but
and it
many.
Did. It, yeah. it added to the...
intrigue.
The heartache in the whole thing. So anyway, it ended up around 4:11, I think.
From?
When the Oak Ridge Boys did it.
From what?
From about
six and a half.
Okay. 6:20, something to that effect.
Wow.
So I knocked 2 minutes off.
That's
good for
quite
you.
A bit. Yeah, that's
good
quite
for
a bit.
You.
It was a big chop job. No, it worked out well. And, you know, it's the old adage, country music, especially country music, is saying what you need to say concisely, you know, directly within a certain amount of time. And, you know.
So... The Oak Ridge Boys picked it up. You get a call saying, hey, there's a this gospel group that have picked up this song. Right. And you know, you're not that super excited, are you?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I was happy someone was going to cut a song
of course.
Of mine,
record yeah, sure.
a song of mine. But I thought, well, Gospel Quartet's going to do that song? Because yeah. I always heard it as a sad solo kind of thing. Yeah, it was quite an experience.
And then, boom, the Oak Ridge Boys exploded.
Yeah, and... When I Don Gant, who was the vice president of Tree at the time, took me over to MCA, and it was soon to be well, it's ABC, and then it became MCA. But Jim Fogelsong was still the president at that time,
mm-hmm.
and we went up to Jim's office, and he played this recording of the Oak Ridge Boys doing my song, and I was just like, "Dang!" You know, I was very, very surprised. That it worked. And, you know, you hear this a lot, but the first time I heard that on the radio, it was just like, wow. It's one of the biggest moments of my life.
And you remember when and where it was and where you were and all that. Yep.
Yeah, I was driving around with a friend in Nashville who had moved here a couple of years before we did. And we were driving around in his pickup truck, and I was trying to find a place to move to live. And this song came on the radio. Yeah, it was a thrill.
That's great. Well, speaking of obscure, you were talking about the band at the time, Oak Ridge Boys, being obscure. There's an obscure presidential candidate that really hasn't gotten much press.
Yeah.
Many people know that he's even running. Casey, you wrote a song about... I'm just amazed with timing for you for this song.
But I wrote it in... 2009.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
By the way, Becky Hobbs and Bonita Hill.
Right.
And
yeah.
We were driving home from a gig in North Carolina, and I said, I was driving, and they were reading a book or something, and I said, wouldn't it be fun to write a song about Donald Trump's hair? And of course,
just out of the blue.
As bored as I was, and they said, Yeah, let's do it. So we had about 4 hours to go home.
I never even knew that the three of you wrote that song. I don't know why. I've never known.
In a car, no less.
In a car. And we could have written, I swear, 20 more verses because right. there's so many great words that rhyme with hair. Especially in the South where you can rhyme hair and car.
Yeah, that's true. How you say it.
Loretta Lynn does, you know, we were driving in your car. The wind was blowing in my heart. It happens all the time.
Sure. So,
anyway, it's the title cut of a CD that I released in 2009 called Donald Trump's Hair, which has a pink background, and it's my head with Donald Trump's hair on my head.
So right.
We're quite proud of that, as you can imagine.
Sure, sure.
But, for it to come back now, and I got to play it on... I think it's the largest news talk radio station in the country, which is KABC in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, mm-hmm. yeah.
And even before that, Bill Cody had been calling me. I was out in Reno. Nobody knew I was out at a holistic cancer clinic out there. And Bill called me, I think it was around July of this past summer, and said, hey, why don't you come in this week? And I was at the clinic for like about a month.
Right.
And, I hadn't gone public with my diagnosis or anything. I said, well, I'm kind of out here touring in Nevada. How about if I catch you when I get home? So I got to do KABC while I was out there. And then shortly after I got home, we did it here on WSM. But, yes, it's kind of been a gift to have it come back. And, I won't say that people ask me all the time if Donald Trump has heard it.
Right.
And I don't know if he's heard it or not. What I can tell you...
You did send it to him, right?
Oh, I sent... He got the first copy. I FedExed it to Trump Towers in 2009 with a nice message and a letter. All I can tell you is about 2 weeks later, someone entered on my guest book at caseyjones.com. They entered as Donald Trump, New York, New York, and the only message was, you're fired. So it could have been him. Who knows?
Now, by the way, that was a... good timing for that. When you say caseyjones.com, that's K-A-S-E-Y.
Nope.
K-A-C-E-Y.
J-O-N-E-S.com.
J-O-N-E-S.com. K-A-C-E-Y-C. So it's...
Yeah. And if you go to caseyjones.com, you will find on the homepage there, along with this concert that Alan and all the writers have put together for me this coming Friday at Douglas Corner, I have a GoFundMe campaign that's going on because in order for me to be able to continue my holistic treatments and the path to wellness, it's expensive and none of it's covered by insurance, which is I'm going to change when I'm well. I may change careers. I may get out of music and become a politician to fight for alternative treatments to be covered by insurance.
In that case,
yeah, that'd be a good cause.
I'm gonna write a song called "Casey Jones Hair," and just so when she's a presidential campaign, I can say, oh, "Look what I wrote 10 years ago." But since we're here right now, would you mind playing us a song?
I would love to.
All right.
Whether a bull or bear market, his tresses are always a target, but this pompadour should be admired. And if you don't agree, then you're fired. Donald Trump's hair, Donald Trump's hair. A girl could get lost in there, way up in there, in Donald Trump's hair. I really don't care if it's full of air. In fact, I really like that word air. H-E-I-R E-double-S. He's got the bouffant that I want. And I want, but I want like Ivana. Spending my hours up in Trump Towers, running my hands through his locks and his safety deposit box. Donald Trump's hair, Donald Trump's hair. Oh, so precariously perched up there, you can't help but stare at Donald Trump's hair. I'm willing to bet he owns stock in Aquanet And why hasn't he fired his stylist yet? He must like the glare of his blonde helmet hair. Comb over, comb over. I wish he'd comb over and let me just touch it one time. I'd fondle each follicle that sprouts from the donicle. It's so stiff and never goes flat. How do he get his doo-doo-doo-da? I wanna see proof. What's under that poof? Is it Jimmy Hoffa or just more of his loot? What else is in there in Donald Trump's hair? Could it be landfill, roadkill, a bottle of Bushmill, or maybe a baby raccoon? The Harlem Boys Choir, all those people he's fired, or the entire cast of the Grand Ole Opry? Donald Trump's hair, Donald Trump's hair. It looks like hell, but I don't care. He's a billionaire, no coif can compare. His tonsorial deserves this memorial song. He's so debonair, 'cause his mane is so rare. And he flaunts it with flair. Bop, 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 bop. Yes, a girl could get lost in there. In Donald Trump's hair.
Oh, fantastic.
All right.
Fantastic. This segment was brought to you by our friends at Dogwood Cabin Rental. We just played the snow down in Townsend this weekend.
Yeah.
Townsend is the peaceful side of the Smokies. If you want to get away from the rush, the tourists, and just enjoy the quiet beauty of the Smoky Mountains, where should you go, Hino?
You should go to dogwoodcabins.com and get yourself a reservation.
There you go.
Not get enough. Yeah, I swung and swung, stirred up a lot of dust. Took a lot of fall.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a great song called Led by Love. Good old Alan Rohde. One of our guests here this hour. We're also here with Casey Jones, and that's off Alan's project called, oddly enough, Led by Love. That's
Led
what it looks like
love.
Right there.
And it, and
right
by the way, his name isn't Little Alan Rohde.
No, it's not. It's not Little. It's
That's
no.
Alan Rohde.
Alan Rohde, right.
Good old Alan Rohde.
Good old Alan Rohde.
Rohde.
We love that guy.
Big Alan Rohde.
Big Alan.
Big Al.
No, that's taken.
We've already got a Big Al.
Yeah, Big Al's been taken.
Yeah.
But you
a couple times.
You got your guitar strapped on and your orthopedic
yeah, you got problems with your teeth.
This
what
is from
that?
The car wreck I had.
The car wreck. Oh. Yeah. So since you're all ready, why don't you play us a song, Mr. Alan Rohde?
Well, okay. You know, I'm a songwriter, so I'm going to play a song that I think needs to be cut. It's a ballad that I wrote with my friend Murray McLaughlin, and wrote this around 2000, I guess. Anyway, and I don't mind saying, I've always heard this song by someone like Raul
Malo.
Yeah, of the okay. Mavericks. You know, when he was doing that solo...
Mm-hmm.
Spanish, half you know, half Latin, half English. You know, this song could be done bilingual, I always thought too, but anyway.
I love.
Here you go, Raul.
Bilingual.
Okay, this is called Path of the Moon. There's an invitation in the path of the moon. The future is stardust, and you'll be there soon. Off in the distance, I'll be dreaming of you while the world turns in circles in the path of the moon. The red dawn is waiting just over the hill. The fireflies dance, the waters are still. Walk on a cloud, I'll be there too, while the world turns in circles in the path of the moon. In the velvet sky, the nightbird is calling, shooting stars for wishing and falling. In the velvet sky, the night bird is calling, shooting stars for wishing and falling. There's a silver sailboat, the wind is your dreams. You'll soon catch the tide and be out to sea, sailing away to where dreams come true. I'll be here waiting in the path of the moon. So kiss me goodnight, come back to me soon. I'll be waiting for you in the path of the moon. I'll be waiting for you in the path of the moon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very
beautiful.
Very good. We need to take one last break. This segment was brought to you by the sun. much better than the... No, it's not. We're going to be right back with more of Alan Rohde and Casey Jones. Alan, real quick, what's your website?
ALANRHODY.com.
There you go. We'll be back with more on the Music Bro Show. Stick around.
Whether a bull or bear market, his tresses are always a target. But this pompadour should be admired. And if you don't agree, then you're fired. Donald Trump's hair.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's right. We're here with Donald Trump's hair. And Casey Jones.
Donald Trump's here.
And Alan Rohde.
The hair itself is going to be his running mate.
His running mate. Okay, I see how that works.
That's right.
And she played
best
that.
Best running mate ever.
She played that. His hair. It's a disaster. No, she played that a few minutes ago. So if you missed it, wait for the podcast in a few days and you can check it out.
Was that a Joe Pesci imitation? Right there?
I don't do imitations. So
I know.
Was,
so I'm just kind of curious.
It was
what
whatever
that was.
It came out being. I don't know. You know.
And by the way, Heino, I was going to say, because I know you innocently misspelled my first name, I always tell people, if you don't know how to spell Casey, my Casey.
Yeah.
When Kacey Musgraves became famous, I friended her on Facebook and I said, thank you for finally having somebody famous enough who knows how to spell our first name correctly. So she and I spell it the same way.
All right, then.
That's nice. Fantastic. And just for full disclosure, this is me, Scott. I'm the one that spelled your name wrong, so I'm sorry. Heino got it right.
Poor Heino.
Look at that.
Heino got it right.
All over the place.
Heino got it right. Hey,
Heino was hung up on Brody.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Just kidding.
Once again, big, big show at Douglas Corner this coming Friday night at from 6 to 8. There's going to be all sorts of folks. Alan Brody and his brother, Rody. Roger Cook, Kent Blasey, Corey Batten, Ray Van Hoy, who's going to be here in a few minutes. Wood Newton, Saving Private Malone. Jim Parker, who does a great songwriter series down in Alabama.
Right. Yeah.
Doug Gill, Stronger Back. I love that song. John Mark Stone, Ling Langham, Jim Sales, Casey Jones, Alan Rody.
There you go.
It's going to be a party. And it's called
raising $10.
$10 for all those people. Each of them are going to do a third of one of their songs, and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming in and being part of us. And give us your email addresses one more time.
Email addresses.
Email or
website. Yes, and your phone numbers. No, give us your web addresses one more time.
Your tax ID.
I don't know how it works on these computer boxes. The devil box. It's a devil box.
Mine is www.kaceyjones.com. Caseyjones.com.
All right.
And mine is alanrhody.com. And if I may, I'll get in a little quick plug here.
Go ahead.
This month in 2016 is the 35th anniversary of my first album I released independently in 1981.
There you go.
Called Stop the Rain. So I've finally made it available on CD and download, and
Sweet.
It does contain my version of I'll Be True to You.
Fantastic.
Wonderful. Well,
fantastic.
You've been warned.
Thank you for being here. We really appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you guys.
And we've got another great hour, another H-O-U-R coming up.
I'm glad you spelled that right.
H-U-R.
Yeah, with Rafe Van Hoy. We are very much looking forward to that. So come on back in just a few minutes here on the Music Bro Show. Strong!